One executive is out, more expected to follow today, after J.P. Morgan's $2 billion loss last week, which won't topple that huge bank, but has made a big dent in its call for less regulation. Today it was announced that Ina Drew, the head of the unit responsible for the trading blunder and one of the most successful women on Wall Street, will retire. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan's CEO, Jamie Dimon, faces shareholders at that company's annual meeting tomorrow. He was known as Wall Street's best risk manager, according to New York Times, the most influential voice against regulations. But Bloomberg News is reporting today that it was Dimon that pushed Ina Drew's unit into making riskier investments. Bloomberg News reporter Brad Cowan joins us. And Brad, this can get netty, but we understand Drew's unit's job was to invest the depositor money that hadn't yet been lent out. And Bloomberg talked to a former J.P. Morgan worker who said he was told, "We want more profits from that unit."
Well, that is true. J.P. Morgan had this special division, and it had a couple responsibilities. One was definitely if the bank had some deposits and was not using those deposits to make loans, so it just had the cash sitting around, it could take that cash and invest it in, you know, treasury securities, mortgage-backed securities that are backed by government-sponsored agencies, or they could put it in corporate bonds or other riskier investments. And that does appear to be the direction that J.P. Morgan pushed in the past couple years.
Well, and according to this former J.P. Morgan worker, this was a directive from the new CEO, Jamie Dimon.
That's true. It was done with a few people who were down in this division, but it was certainly done with the blessing of Jamie Dimon.
Well, and how does that square with what he's now saying, that these were stupid mistakes made by this unit?
Probably the distinction is between the broader strategy of wanting to push into investments that may carry just a little bit more risk, which means they may actually bring a little bit more profit, and having that broad strategy versus, okay, how are we actually going to do this? It just got too complicated, too complex. And so now Jamie is saying, look, the people who actually went forward and implemented the strategy just did a horrible job of it.
Well, but some of those people include Bruno Ixel, who's the London trader, who's been called the London Whale, and Voldemort, you know, because of all these huge investments he was making. Bloomberg saying that, you know, his office doesn't even seem to understand what was happening. Jamie Dimon didn't understand. So doesn't this just play right into the call for more transparency, more regulation, and the Volcker rule, which is in the Frank Dodd bill that hasn't even been enacted yet?
Well, it certainly does. I mean, Jamie Dimon, more than any other executive on Wall Street, was viewed as probably the one CEO who really did appear to have it all under control. He, as CEO, managed their bank through the financial crisis of 2008-2009 better than any other of his peers, and they have this mantra that they have the fortress balance sheet, which means that they're stronger than all the other banks. And furthermore, Jamie Dimon has a reputation of a real hands-on manager, someone who really gets involved in the details. And so he had really taken a leadership role with the regulators. So if he was sort of the example of the one guy who could do it, that argument is looking a lot harder to make today.
This will play out on the campaign trail. Mitt Romney has called for repealing Dodd-Frank and the Volcker rule, which is under Dodd-Frank. Meanwhile, just, you know, the Volcker rule, named after Paul Volcker, would call for what?
Well, that would call for banning what is known as proprietary trading at banks that are part of the FDIC insurance scheme. And the idea is that if we have this government-sponsored program, the FDIC insurance deposit insurance program, that is essentially backing these banks, then we don't want the banks to be taking, you know, risky bets with their money, so that, you know, if the bets go right, they'll make a ton of money, they'll pay themselves huge bonuses, and then if the bets go bad, then the government is and the taxpayers are going to end up picking up the bill. So that is really what that is designed to do, is ban what's called proprietary trading, which is when the banks just go out and make bets with their own money.
Without, first of all, having the cash to back them up, which isn't the case with J.P. Morgan. They're incredibly healthy. They have tons of capital. Well, this is more about the question of how much more of this is going on, maybe with banks that aren't as healthy. What else do you see happening this week? Is this the kind of thing that's just going to dissipate by the end of the week? Or is this knocking out the biggest voice against the Volcker Rule, and it might finally get some legs?
The regulators are really full bore in writing these rules. All the banks have been in a full-on campaign to water that down and push back. And now, I mean, we even had an interview this last week with the CEO of SunTrust, a bank in the South, who doesn't even do a lot of this risky business. But we were asking him what this would mean for the industry, and even he was saying it's a black eye. I mean, he's as far away from Wall Street as you can get, and even he was acknowledging that this would really crimp the financial industry's campaign to push back on some of these regulations.
Brad Cowan of Bloomberg News. Brad, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.